Tiki Barber joins us, NFL insider. Good morning, Tiki.
Morning. How you guys doing?
Doing well. I wonder, I mean, you know that there are firings coming. It's Black Monday. It happens every year. And I wonder, do you feel worse for some guys than other guys? You see the list, or you feel bad for everybody because they are, you know, people. So
good point.
Yeah, they're people. They're all people, you know, and they got fired, and it's bad for everybody.
I tell you, it's a good question, because I think so much of how we perceive coaches, whether they're doing a good job or bad job, depends on how they treat the media, because that's kind of how they're treating us as consumers, right? And so some of them you feel bad for simply because they didn't get enough time. Like John Fox, he was only there for 3 years. Or even more so, Jack Del Rio, who seemed like a stand-up guy, and even after he got fired out in Oakland by the Raiders, you know, he stood at the podium and answered all those questions, but I mean, he was 11-5 last year and had great expectations, but something clearly went wrong, not coaching related, that caused them to want to move on from him. So you feel sorry for guys that are good guys in the media, because that's their connection to us. The guys that are, you know, kind of jerks, it's like, all right, whatever, good riddance, go be a coordinator somewhere.
Yeah, it's one of those things where we're debating the value now of the jobs and where the great locations are. We'll ask you about Oakland and Gruden in a sec. But I look at Indy, Tiki, and people were asking me that on Sunday. Is this still a great job? Well, when you knew what Andrew Luck was 2 years ago, it felt like it was. You'd get a chance to build around him. I'm not sure I'd choose it over Chicago, where Trubisky is, or Arizona, where there's some infrastructure. I worry, and I think Irsay's a little wacky. I think the Colts' job's a little bit – I don't know that they'll get an elite candidate until a guy sees Andrew Luck able to throw the ball downfield.
A little wacky. You try a lot wacky.
Okay.
I don't think he pays mind to the truth. He just says whatever's on the top of his mind, whether it's true or not, or whether he actually knows the answer or not. And that's a little, that erratic behavior kind of puts you off. If you're a head coach, you're looking for stability, you're looking for a place where an owner is going to come in and get you everything you need. So I agree with you in the sense that Andrew Luck makes that job, under the issues or uncertainty with Andrew Luck, makes that Indianapolis Colts job a little bit less appealing. But it's also the history of that organization. I mean, you go back even to the Peyton Manning days when they were good, they won a Super Bowl. Their defense stunk, right? It was never a balanced build across the board. And in Andrew Luck's years, as good as he's been, it still hasn't been a balanced build. The defense still is erratic, and the offensive line has been neglected, even though those are the places where we know you win championships. The Seahawks have done it that way. The Giants have done it that way. The Steelers have done it that way, but the Indianapolis Colts, who interestingly now are in a very competitive division, because it used to be the Colts and everybody else. Now the Jacksonville Jaguars are stacked from top to bottom. If they find a quarterback who's consistent, I mean, watch out for them for years. Yeah. The Tennessee Titans have been on the come. They've made the postseason. So the division is not as desirable as it used to be.
I know this is going to be a weird question. The Buffalo Bills make the playoffs. Is this a good thing? I mean, will they be? No,
yeah,
because
of course
they'll be.
It's a good thing.
Okay, no, but they'll be satisfied with this is good for how long?
Well, I mean, look, here's the thing. They're rebuilding a new feel there. You hear it with the head coach and everything that the players say about the head coach and how he's rebuilding the image and the core and the character of this team. And, you know, early in the year, we're like, all right, they're stripping down, right? They get rid of their wide receiver. Why am I forgetting his name?
Sammy Watkins.
Sammy Watkins. Yep. They get rid of Sammy Watkins. In the middle of the season, they get rid of Marcell Dareus. It's like, oh, they're just rebuilding right now. If they make the postseason or they get close to the postseason, good for them. It's good experience for these young kids, right? But they mess around and they make the postseason. And why it's important is because getting to this stage of the NFL, where the second season is invaluable, right? The feeling on prep week, and then on the day before the game, and then on game day itself is so palpable. It's something that young players need to experience so they know that they desire it. And so, yes, it is a good thing. It feels odd because where we thought Buffalo was, and you know what they need to grab out of the draft, which they're now not going to be able to do. But I think in the long run, it is a big thing. it is a good thing.
Carolina, New Orleans is the game that fascinates me the most this weekend. I Jacksonville, Buffalo, just because neither team has been there that long. But I think you got the best two teams with Saints, Panthers. I'm curious how you view even the quarterback matchup with a 38-year-old Breeze and a 28-year-old Newton. This wasn't a really good year for Cam Newton. He's second in the league in interceptions, 25th in passer rating, 23rd in QBR, which some view as more accurate. And it's almost like they need Cam just not to make the big mistake. I hate saying it's like Peyton Manning 2 years ago, but he has to use his legs from time to time, be as accurate as he can be. We know he's not got the most accurate arm, but this isn't, they've built so well around him that as long, to me now, it's, I don't want to call him a game manager, but if he could be that, that's actually good for the Panthers, isn't it?
He is. If you don't let him make those big boy decisions, throwing the ball across the middle, which he doesn't do well at all, those intermediate routes, you know, 15 to 20 something yards, that's when he gets liable. If you don't let him do those things, then he gets really good because his athleticism as an extra runner changes how you have to play defense, right? You now have to spy him, which takes away a defender from some other part of your offense. But you're absolutely right. Their defense has consistently been one of the best in the National Football.
We lose Tiki. Are you there?
Lost him temporarily.
I think he was going to say National Football League.
That was very good.
Sure, that's hard to say.
It's good that we have Hugh hanging on all of the words to make sure that we get where we're going.
Isn't that amazing? There's seven. I mean, add them up. 9 of his 16 games this year, Cam threw for under 200 yards. Imagine saying a guy's a really good quarterback that does that. He is managing games right now and second in the league in interceptions, only behind DeShone Kizer. He's thrown 4 in the last 2 weeks.
But he does do things that other quarterbacks don't do. I mean, they were talking yesterday during the broadcast or 2 days ago on the broadcast about his quarterback rating, which is not fair because of the running that he does. When you tack that onto his quarterbacking, and so all of a sudden he's in trouble. And man, he's running for 25 yards. It's a whole.
But there are a lot of quarterbacks that run well. You know who runs great? Blake Bortles. He's one of the most. He's one of the best rushing quarterbacks there is, and we don't give him credit for that.
Tiki, you mentioned the Oakland Raiders. I mean, here they are. They go from 12-4 to 6-10, whether it's John Gruden or not, somebody new is coaching that team. What kind of team are they getting? A team closer to 6-10 or 12-4 or somewhere in the middle?
I think they're more in the middle. I think this locker room got a little bit toxic, more quietly than the Giants did. And there was just a disconnect between the head coach and the players on the field. And it showed up in the effort at times. It showed up in the game planning. I think they didn't trust the changing of offensive coordinator. Derek Carr certainly didn't trust that. And it showed on how they played. Now, they got a big game out of Amari Cooper in Week 17 this past weekend, but he has to find a way to be more consistent, because for a team that's relying on a quarterback to be the alpha, he can only do so much without the supporting parts also holding their weight.
Tiki Barber, our guest, Brady and Price, 813. When we ran down the AFC Pro Bowl roster, not a single Patriot defensive player. Brady's their best player. Let's call Gronk their second best player. I don't even know where you'd start. Devin McCourty's had a good season. Patrick Chung's been there forever. But it's amazing defensively with New England that there's not even a Ninkovich. There's not even what there used to be with a Teddy Bruschi. It's not a no-name defense because we see them on TV in prime time 7 times a year. But how do you think the Patriots have done this defensively?
I don't
turn
know.
It around.
The Howe Tower's not there. Yeah, Dante Hightower's not there either, because he's been hurt all season long. So there is no star. And I think it makes it manageable because they score so much offensively and Tom Brady's on the other side. But I honestly don't trust the Pats offseason. This is probably the first offseason that I can say that, because when there has to be a play made, who's making it? Is it James Harrison coming out of nowhere? You know, getting after he got released by the Pittsburgh Steelers and had a decent day against the backups this past weekend. But who is that player? Because that's what it's always been for New England. There's always someone who makes plays on either side of the ball. We know who it is on the offensive side. It's Tom and it's Gronk, or one of those running backs who were, you know, match and play on that side. But they've also had it on the defensive side, and they don't have it right now. So that's probably the biggest concern Belichick going into this postseason is, when I have to make a play, what am I going to do?
And no, Yeah, no Julian Edelman on offense is still something we don't talk about because they've won 13 of their last 14 games. But it's something. It's not nothing.
No, you're absolutely right. There's I always say the stars are the ones that get the highlights, but it's the role players that win games. And the Pats have done it with great role players who wouldn't make a Pro Bowl, but they make you win championships. And I don't know if they have enough of them, especially on the defensive side, to your point. And if you play a team like the Steelers, again, who now have the book on you this year, you worry about people that get away with sneaking away a win like they did the first time.
Well, one thing he doesn't have to worry about now, but he may worry about in the future. I don't know how many teams in the history of the National Football League have started out 0-9 and finished with five straight wins, but Jimmy Garoppolo looks real. And are the Patriots eventually going to pay the price for this?
Well, I mean, I think by the time the San Francisco 49ers are ready to compete for a championship, the Pats will be in a rebuild, right? This current iteration of themselves will have passed by. And Bill Belichick, if he's still there, because he may retire sooner rather than later, may not have to worry about it. So, yeah, they pushed the problem of potentially meeting the 49ers in the Super Bowl down the road, but I don't think when the 49ers hit that window, their Super Bowl window, when they're open, they have all the component pieces and everything feels right, the Pats are still going to be viable, which is probably two or so years from now. It was honestly a smart move, especially if you're looking at the career mortality of Tom Brady and Bill Belichick relative to Garoppolo.